Good morning, everybody. We are in Parashat Behar. וידבר השם אל משה בהר סיני לאמור, דבר אל בני עשיו, אמרת להם, כי תבואו אל הארץ, when you come to the land that I'm giving you, ושבתה הארץ, and the land will cease from working. ושבתה הארץ, שבת להשם, שבת to the קדוש ברוך הוא, 6 years you will work, 6 שנים תזרע שדך, in 6 שנים תזמור כרמך, six years you working, and then you take all whatever you put into the field, and בשנה השביעית, שבת שבתון, the 7th year, you stop working, you don't do anything. The question here is, first of all, it's very strange. The Torah is telling us, you come to Eretz Israel, don't work. I didn't work a minute. What does it mean, don't work? ושבתה הארץ, שביתה. You know, here it's like everybody's doing shvita every minute, you know, for strike, got a reason, haven't got a reason, whatever. It's happening all the time. There were times that every minute you heard about another strike. But here the Torah is telling you, when you come to Eretz Israel, what's the first thing you do? Strike. Yes? Shmita. Shvita. It's the same thing. The Shmita is the Shvita, and it is like you don't do anything. Then the Torah is telling you, 6 years you will work, and then you'll do the Shnata Shmita, the Shvita. Then you will stop working, like for a whole year. So there are two questions. First of all, why is the Torah not telling it to us in the right order? The Torah should say, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'Har Sinai, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you will work for 6 years, and then you will stop working for a year. That's the normal procedure, and that's the way it should be written. But the Torah is telling us, no. The first thing, you'll come to Eretz Israel, you don't work. But then the Torah explains to me, no, we didn't mean that the first thing you do, you don't work, but we meant that 6 years you're going to work, and then at the 7th year, you will stop working. So if this is the case, the first pasuk, we don't need it at all. We don't need to hear that when you come to Israel, you will do Shnat Shmita, because the Torah is telling it to you the Pasuk later. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? As we all know, the Torah is not just using words with no meaning. If the Torah is using a letter, a sign, it has a meaning. So what's the meaning here? Unfortunately, what's the whole idea of Shmita? The idea of Shmita is that for 1 year, you don't work. Today we are not so connected to it because we are not in the fields. We go to the supermarket and buy whatever we need. But in the old times, everybody who wanted something, he has to grow it in the fields. And there were, by the way, also the pardesim that used to be in Ramnana, in Petach Tikva, you hardly see them anymore. So it's very hard to us to connect and understand the idea. But the idea is very simple, that the old times, when people realized, if you don't work on your field, you've got nothing to eat. You've got nothing. So, what's the... You would understand that for a whole year, not to work in the field means no food. No nothing, no parnasa.
My mother's caregiver is from Sri Lanka, and the family grows their own vegetables in the garden. They grow vegetables instead of going to the supermarket and buying them.
Yeah, but today, there are also here you have a few that do this, but there are very few. The thing is that we don't understand, so we have to understand the idea. The idea is, for us to understand it, for a whole year you don't work. What do you do it that year? And what are you going to live from? And what are you going to live from? So God is promising us, V'natati birchati, I will bless the land, that at the 6th year, you will have enough for the 7 years and also for the 8 years, for the beginning. In other words, it's no problem. It's a different issue, but we're not going to go into it. First of all, we want to understand the idea behind it. So the Torah is telling us that 1 year, you don't work. What do? You learn Torah. You connect yourself to God for a whole year. No thinking about parnasa and all the things. And this is an unbelievable idea. You know, a guy to stop for the whole year and just doing mitzvahs and sitting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and learning Torah and whatever. It's very hard. That's why they called Giborei Koach Osei Dvaro. Those who are keeping Shemitah are being called heroes. And we understand it a little now when we realize what is the idea behind it. And that's the reason also that the Torah is telling us, when you come to the land, what's the first thing you're going to do? The first pasuk is telling us, it looks like it. You're going to Shavta Aretz Shabbat. But what is it saying? V'shavta Aretz Shabbat LaHashem. What is Shabbos? Every week we have a Shabbos. What is the idea of Shabbos? Shabbos is Me'en Olam Haba. Shabbos is our connection with God. For a whole day, we sit with God. And we don't, no phones, no cars, no nothing. We are with the family, and we sit, and we enjoy ourselves on being Jewish and being connected to God. The idea of Shabbos is the Rosh Hashanah gives a very interesting example to understand the idea. 40 years in the desert, Am Yisrael were drinking water where from? You know where from? Where did they get the water? The well of Miriam. So the well of Miriam was going with them all the time, and he was giving them water. What is water? Water is the acid of life. Water is Torah. Water for a Jew is everything. So the water for us is the Shabbat. The Shabbat gives us the power to survive as Jewish people, as a Jewish nation, and to go on year after year. Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that the Shabbos gives the power to the next week. It's written Shabbat va'inafash. What is the nefesh? Nefesh is the soul of the universe, which is the Shabbat, which is the soul of the daily. In other words, in order to survive 1, 2, 3, 4, the 6 days of the year, of the week, we need the Shabbos that gives the power to the next 6 years. From the other side, if you want to get to Shabbos, you have to work for 6 days. You have to work. That's what's getting the idea here. We're not relying on miracles. We have to do our share. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you will understand that the let's say the mission is to get to this year that you sit with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mission. The mission is not the parnoso, as a parnoso, like to enjoy life, like to go to restaurants, to go on holidays, and to have good food and good clothes. That is not the mission. That is not the goal. This is the thing that you use, the means to get to the goal, to get to your task, to get to the matara. And what is the matara? What are we doing in this world? We're trying to connect ourselves in God through this world. In other words, we have to use this world. We cannot just be spiritual, as we said, because if this is the case, we could have stayed back there in heaven and not come back to this world at all. We came to this world to work and to get our reward in the next world. And the idea of the next world is Shabbos Sheme'en Olam Haba. They say if somebody keeps Shabbos, he is connected to Olam Haba. So now the Torah is trying to tell us, if you think that you come to Eretz Yisrael in order to have a good parnosa and good clothes and good food, yes, this is a byproduct, but that's not the product. The product is Shabbos. Then the Torah explains to you, Shesh Anim Tavot, 6 years you will work, and then at the 7th year, you stop working. And yeah, there is a miracle here, a big miracle, because normally if you ask people that work the land, they will explain to you that normally, agriculture talking about it, is when you work for the land, for 2, 3 years, you have to stop. The land has to rest. Here we're talking, the Torah is telling you, against all the nature, telling you no. You're not going to stop. You are going to work for 6 years. And nevertheless, at the 6 years, they're supposed to be, the land is going to be like so weak and no power at all. The land is going to provide you more than all the other years for 3 years. Which is unbelievable, to showing that God is with us. This is Eretz Yisrael. This is the idea of coming here. We all are privileged to be here, but we must not forget why we're here. And what are we doing here? Yes. You should work, you should enjoy life, everything, but put things in the right balance. What is the mission? What is the task? Why are we here in this world? Why are we sitting here in Eretz Yisrael? To keep mitzvahs. And as we said, the basic of everything is Va'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. That's the basic of everything. So this is the title of the parasha. To understand and realize what are we doing here in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, our people went through hell through the years, and still we are not, let's say, enjoying the quiet life. You know, sometimes you come to certain countries, everybody in the street is like, in slow motion. So they've got no worries, everybody's got worries, but not serious worries. And here everything is in action. You know, people don't realize it. You go on the road. Like I told you, if you want to be Baal Midot, if you want to be a good man, a tzaddik, you have to go on the road and don't shout and don't get angry for one day, you are a tzaddik. If you can do this mission, you are a tzaddik. That's the best Avodat HaMidot. But people don't realize it, that we are living here very tense. We are very tense. We've got so many problems from one side, but from the other side, we must understand that here we are privileged to be here. With all what we see unfortunately the bad side, but there is also a good side. Sometimes in life, you have to turn a page. I don't know if I told you this story about Herschel Fink from Antwerp. I don't know.
I went to the public school. I suffered a lot from anti-Semites. And now I'm here. I'm more than happy.
Exactly.
I feel at home here.
Yeah. So, you know, we paid for this being here. We are paid for it a lot, and we are still paying for it. But we must not forget, at the end of the day, we are very privileged to be here. And we have to live our life accordingly. And sometimes you see, you hear stories about people, and it's terrible. Like this Shabbos, we've been in Shabbat Keilah in Chispin, Ramat HaGolan. And we heard stories about members of our Keilah that, you know, you see a person and you don't even know what's the story behind it. One guy lost his hand because a Rimon, how do you say Rimon?
A grenade
just went off a minute before supposed to go. Something was wrong with it. And he's telling us the story how he went through it and what kept him alive. And what the other guy, he was being rescued from the fire on Milchemet Yom Kippur, when the whole vehicle was burning and somebody pulled him off. You see from one side the heroic thing, and this guy who saved him was killed. And when he was killed, he saved him because somebody shot him in the back and he fell on him. And this is after he took him out of the fire. And then later on, years later, he found out that this guy didn't only take him out of the vehicle, he took also others. And he gave his life for those people. This is Am Yisrael. This is something that we have to remember, understand. What are we doing here? What is our mission here? Not just live life of, let's say, like the goy. That's not. We are special people. We have a mission. And the mission is we have to show the light to all the others. But before we show the light to all the others, we have to show the light to each other. And just, you know, to look at things in the right way. This Herschel, this guy Herschel Fink, he was a Holocaust survivor. He used to live in Antwerp, and when everything happened, a rabbi, I don't remember the name, but promised him that if he and his brother will stay together and keep eye on each other, they will survive all the troubles. And this is before the Holocaust. This rabbi told him there's going to be very bad times and you should keep together, you two brothers should keep together. And then the Holocaust started and they had to, they were sent to a concentration camp from Antwerp and went through hell, and all the time they were keeping each other and they survived. When they came back to Antwerp with nothing after the war, he went to the home of his parents and there was somebody else living there. And they just saw him and understood who he was. They threw him out to the street. They just took the house, moved in and took the house. And he didn't know what to do. So he writes a letter to the mayor of Antwerp, a goy. And he writes a letter and tells him, I am a Holocaust survivor. I used to live here in Antwerp. I lost my father, I lost my mother, I lost all my family except of my brother. And I'm approaching you as my father, because I've got no father. And I was thrown out of my home. I've got nothing. He was sure that the mayor will see the letter, even if he's going to look at it, and throw it to the garbage and finished. A week later, he gets an answer. And the mayor answers him, and he invites him to come to his office to talk about his problems. He comes to the office.
Where
was it? Antwerp.
Okay.
And they were living in certain places, wherever they could find place. Well, it's a book like this. I'm just telling you an episode from the book, which is unbelievable. First of all, to show us that not only Jews are good people, there are also other good people in this world. And people don't sometimes, you know, we look at others like, oh, it's wrong. Anyway, this guy, the mayor of Antwerp, start talking with him and understanding the situation. And then he tells him, do you read books? He says, yeah, I read books. He says, you know, books got a lot of pages. Some of the pages are sad. Some of the pages are happy. I want you to turn the sad pages and open a new page, which is going to be a happy page. I'm giving you, he gave him a personal check about 10,000 Belgic francs at that time, today it's euro, to learn to cut diamonds. Diamonds. Wow. At that time, diamonds was a very prestige job, today it's not so as it used to be. And it was also a very expensive course to learn it. 10,000 Belgic francs at that time was a lot of money. And this, he didn't give it from the area, you have to understand. It's not from, he gave it from his own money. He wrote him a personal check and gave it to him and says, you give it to me back when you've got it. Just I want you to open a new page. He went, learned. This guy, he died, I think, 2 years ago. He got a very big family. His brother also survived with him. He became a very rich guy, very rich. I'm talking about he was one of the Gvirim of Antwerp. Those who come from Antwerp, you know, if you say Herschel Fink, they only was a chazan. And yeah, most of the family, by the way, today live in Israel. And he was, let's say, he was doing so much charity. Because God gave him plenty, and he always used it in a good way. And this is a big lesson for us to understand that yes, sometimes we have bad times. The Torah is telling us, Ki amuch achicha, if your brother is poor, you should help him. You should help him, not maybe. You have to help, it's a mitzvah. You know, it's very interesting, this morning I talked about it. There is no other nation in the world that orders you or orders the rich to help the poor. And not only help the poor, in our Pasha Isri, you're not even allowed to ask the money back if he hasn't got the money. The Torah is telling you, Lo tiye lo ken noshe, in our Pasha. And not, says one of the rabbis in the Gemara says, that you're not even allowed to go pass him without talking, to remind him that he owes money. You know, it reminds me of an episode. My father, when people built this country, it wasn't easy. My father started a business and he needed money to do some things. And he asked his relative, his cousin, which was a very rich guy. He had property in Switzerland, in Israel, all over. He asked him for a loan and he gave him. But every day, he was coming near the walk and going, hi. My father got angry, says, well. He asked his good friend to loan him the money. And the next morning when this guy went, his cousin went to him, said, here, take your money. Moichel toives. I don't want your money. And you see, this is just showing you. There is a way to give and there is a way to give. And you know, if you're already giving, you know, when I'm talking about it, I remember people, you know, I've got a friend, Baruch Hashem. This guy, he's playing a trumpet, he's got a job, he's got plenty, yes? And he's playing a trumpet in the weddings and things like this, he's a very, very clever in this thing. And we were friends, and you know, not very close friends. And we wanted to move, as a young couple, we bought a flat, and we took the mashkanta. And when you take the mashkanta, the loan from the government, we didn't know exactly that it's not so easy. If you, after 2 years, you move, and you move to a bigger place, you have to give the money back. You cannot just take the money to the next flat. And we didn't check it. And suddenly, after we're doing everything, we are being told that we have to give this loan back. Now, I haven't got the money. If I'm giving the loan back, I cannot. I bought it already the new flat. What am I going to do? You know, I had very rich friends. I phoned them. No. Yes. No. I said, okay. Toda rabba. One night we're sitting with a friend, not so close as the other friend, and not so rich as those friends. And I'm just telling the story. You know, I got this. I says, what's the problem? So I said, how much money do you need? No, it's not important. He says, no, tell me, how much money do you need? And I told him. He says, 1 minute. I don't know if I'm recording this, but at that time you used to do a lot of black money, you know, especially if you played on this. So he went to the other room, brings me a bag of money, a buchta, what we say, and he starts counting. Here, take. He says, what do you mean, take? He says, take it. He says, I've got the money. I don't need it now. Take it. And I know that if you're keeping it, it's in good hands. Whatever you have, give it to me. I don't need it now. A year later, I gave him back all the money. But I never forget this. You know, I had all those rich friends. When you need them, suddenly,
they don't know you.
They don't know you. And you had this guy, just, you know, you have to understand, he did it in a way that I'm doing him a favor. Says, you're keeping the money for me. I'm doing him a favor. And this is the way to do it. This is being Jewish. This is Am Yisrael. Yes, there are sometimes, unfortunately, also people that don't behave like this. But we should always try and look at those who do behave like this. At the good people. And learn from them how to behave. And this is our parsha. When we come to Earth Israel, we have to think, what? Why are we here? Shabbat LaHashem. It's not the work, it's not the parnosa, it's not all the things. It's Shabbat LaHashem. The important is that we are here to connect ourselves to God. And to connect to God is to love each other. Because if you love human being, you love God. Because we are being, God made us in His image. And if you love God, you have to love people. If you love people, you have to love God. And if you don't love, it means that you're not worshipping God. And in order to worship God, you have to be a mensch. And as I said, there is no nation in the world that in law, you have to give money to the poor. If you're as an individual. There are social laws and they help poor people. Some is from humane reasons, sometimes it's also from a very simple reason. If you don't help the poor people, you will have so much problem that it's going to cost you more if you don't help them. But there is no land in the world that by the law, you have to give money to the poor and not only giving it in a nice way. Not like a master that gives his slave. Not like, okay, here, take.
Not sharing. No, you do it, check it.
You have, of course. And if you know he hasn't got the money to give you back, you don't come to him and ask. Not only don't ask for him, don't even go near him to remind him. That's the Torah. That's what the Torah expects us to do. And this is unbelievable when you read this. Then, there is another interesting thing. After talking about Shemitah and Yovel, the Torah is talking about a slave that is being released on the Yovel.
he send away after 7 years?
Yes, and he has to be freed after 7 years, and if not, if he wants to stay, and when the 50 years over, he has to go free. And the Torah is telling, when we get them free, all the land is going to get free, all the people. So people are asking, what do you mean? The slaves are going to get free. What, the master is not getting, he's free already. Says, this is a very interesting thing with a Jewish slave. A Jewish slave is not really a slave, he's a master. The law says that if you have two cushions, you give him one, and you sleep on one. If you have one cushion, who is going to sleep on the cushion? The slave. If you eat a steak, you have to provide him also a steak. And if you've got only one steak, who is going to eat the steak?
He
is going to eat. It's unbelievable. Then, if you took somebody whose profession is a gardener, for example, you cannot ask him to make you coffee. The Rav Nevenzahl says that we have to learn from this and the way we behave today, that we haven't got slaves literally as we see in the Torah, like on the surface, but also when you have power and you're asking somebody to do something for you, and the only reason he's doing it is because you have the power, you're not allowed to do it. This is avodat parah. This is not allowed to do. In other words, if you have a secretary, if you have a worker, and you ask them, go and do me my shopping, you're not allowed to do this. Because why is he doing it? Because he wants to do it, or because you are his boss? So you're not allowed. When you go into those laws, you understand the beauty of the Torah. You know, a slave is the lowest level that can be. The Torah tells you no. And you have to imagine to yourself, who took a slave on himself? Only a saint. Because to took a slave means that I have to provide him, I have to give him, and who needs a slave like this? But the idea of slavery in Am Yisrael is to fix the guy, to show him the good life, to show him how to behave. Because normally this guy, he lost everything and he had to sell himself. Or the base thing sold him because he stole something, because he didn't have anything to eat. So now he's being raised up by a house that he will see how you behave. What is the right thing to do? So now, if we're talking about slave, the slave we're talking about, Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, it means us. Everybody is a slave. Ibn Gvirol says, the slaves of the time, Avdei Azman, Avdei Avadime, they are slaves of slaves. Only the slave of God is a real free man. Because what is the meaning of being a slave of God? If you understand the laws of a slave and a master in the Jewish tradition, we understand that it's not so bad to be a slave. Imagine to yourself, somebody comes to you, very rich guy, he's got everything, he says, you know, I'm going to give you a house, I'm going to give you a car, I'm going to give you books, I'm going to provide you everything. The only thing is, I want you to be my slave. Now, the first beginning, it sounds very bad. Well, I don't want to be a slave. He said, you don't understand. As being my slave, whatever you earn through the years of being slave, is also going back to you. I'm getting nothing out of it. And during you being my slave, you're going to get all the good things of the world. Now, what are you going to do, say? Bevakasha. Bevakasha. That's what God is telling us. And God is our Father in heaven. He's got everything. He's got the power to give us whatever we want. And he tells us, if you listen to me, if you be my slaves, you will have everything. And nevertheless, if you think you're doing something for me, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for yourself. Or, let's be more precise, you do it for all Am Yisrael. We don't do anything only for ourselves. Whatever a Jew does is for the klal, is for everybody. And this is the idea of when you come to Eretz Yisrael, what's the first thing to do? To understand and realize why I'm here. And Bezrat Hashem, we are sitting here and learning Torah, so we know why we're here. So let us go in the same way and go up.